Bible podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
We have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. The next verse says, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths about God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. The idea that these people were being told that they needed to be taught the elementary truths about God. Jumping down to Hebrews chapter 6, it says, therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity. The point of what the writer of Hebrews is saying is that they need to move on to maturity, and the only way to do that is to understand the elementary or the foundational principles. Take this as a review of what those are. Beginning in verse 1, it says, not laying again the foundations of repentance and from acts that lead to death and of faith in God. These twin foundations, repentance and faith, are really representing the start or the beginning of our journey with God. Repentance plus faith starts us off in this journey, a spiritual journey with God. Further in verse 2, it says, instructions about cleansing rites, speaking about baptisms, and secondly, the laying on of hands. These two, baptism and the laying on of hands, represent our most elementary response of obedience to God. God, who has given us the ability to turn back to Him, to repent and believe in Him and put our trust in Him in justifying us to become His children. Now, the proof of that is a small obedience of having ourselves baptized and laying on our hands as an act of agreeing with God's word. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 2 continues where it says, from the resurrection from the dead and eternal judgment. These two start us on a separate set of pairs. If you could look at this as three different pairs. These two, the first two start us on a journey with God. The second two are our small acts of obedience. These last two speak about the way we live life well into our eternity. I've entitled this message, Embracing Eternity. And to understand and appreciate the resurrection from the dead, we need to first understand death. In previous weeks, we talked about death being separation from life. But there's also such a thing as physical death, and that's what we want to look at today. The first thing to understand about understanding physical death is it's just a matter of time. We know that not even from the Bible. We know that from just living life, that every day that passes is bringing us closer to death. We've seen relatives. We've seen friends. We've seen, even during COVID, we've seen a lot of people die. And the truth of the matter is, understanding physical death begins with the understanding it is just a matter of time. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Now, while that's true that we're growing spiritually, the fact of the matter is outwardly we are wasting away. We're moving, inching forward every day that passes into death. Psalm chapter 90, verse 10 says, our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow. They quickly pass, and we fly away. Notice where it's not being dark or sinister. It's just explaining the fact that we have limited time on this earth. We will die, and it's just a matter of time. For they quickly pass away, and we fly away. James even gives us stronger words. James 4, verse 14 says, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time, and then it vanishes. Here's the fact of the matter when you talk about death or physical death. Understanding it begins with understanding it is just a matter of time. Secondly, we have no control. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 1 says, there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. It's interesting that the second line gives us the breadth and depth of that life. It says there's a time to be born and a time to die. And in both of these cases, we do not have any control whatsoever. We may have science tell us that we can know what the gender is, but we have no control over anything, over our own birth. In fact, we had nothing to say about our own birth and the matter of our own becoming a human being. The fact of the matter is we don't control our birth and we don't control our death. It's the same thing. The idea of controlling our destiny is just not true, and particularly in this idea of death. Understanding physical death begins with understanding it is just a matter of time, and secondly, we have no control. But the third thing we need to understand about physical death, it is something beautiful. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 1, while it begins by saying, "There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die." Further down in verse 11, it actually ends by saying, "He has made everything beautiful in its time." Now, if that's true about birth, it is just as true about death. The problem is we don't think that way, because when you don't understand the resurrection from the dead, you do not see death as beautiful. When you do understand the resurrection from the dead, there's something that God made about birth that is exciting, that's beautiful and vibrant, and there's something about death that can be expected, and yet is just as beautiful and just as vibrant. When we trust God's word, when he says he makes everything beautiful in its time. He further says he also set eternity in the human heart. It is something that we understand because we've become believers, we've repented, and we put our faith in him. Our hearts have turned to understand there's eternity written in us, yet no one can fully understand or fathom what God has done from the beginning to the end. The point is, understanding physical death has a measure of understanding. It is just a matter of time. Number two, we have no control over it. And number three, there's something beautiful about it. Hence, the importance of this foundation in our lives, that the understanding of resurrection becomes extremely important. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 says this, "For what I've received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures." This is extremely important, and that's why he's passing it on to the Corinthians and saying, you're gonna have to understand this. And what is this that you need to understand? That he was buried and he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Something baffling about the resurrection, which is hard to understand sometimes. But the truth of the matter is, understanding the resurrection is something that Jesus taught. In one conversation that Jesus was having with the Sadducees, who did not believe that there was such a thing as a resurrection, in Mark chapter 12, verse 26, he says to them, "Now about the dead rising, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the account of the burning bush, how he said to him, 'I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He's not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. You are badly mistaken.'" He was trying to correct them and help them understand that there's something about, maybe you can't fully understand it, maybe it's baffling, maybe it's something beyond your pay grade, but there's something about this truth, about understanding this thing called the resurrection from the dead. Understanding resurrection is understanding it has witnesses. Throughout the Bible, it says that there were people who actually saw it. "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance," he says, "that Christ died for our sins according to scriptures. He was buried, then he was raised on the third day according to scriptures." And then what? "He appeared to Cephas and to the 12. There's about 13 people that he appeared to. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time. This is proof that there were witnesses. Most of them are living, and though some of them have died at the point that this verse in Corinthians was written. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me and also to one abnormally born." The point of all of this is not the number of people who became witnesses, but the fact that all of these witnesses saw something so magnificent and so powerful, they were willing to die to just point to the fact as witnesses to this truth. That is a powerful truth. Understanding the resurrection understands it has witnesses and it has implications to your life today. Resurrection does not have implication when you actually die. It actually has direct implication to the way you live right now, today, and every day of your life. Acts chapter 17, verse 29 says, "Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like stone or silver or gold or some wooden object, an image made by human design and skill." He says, we cannot think of God as something that has no life. "In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands people everywhere to" what? "Repent, start the journey, put their faith in God, have themselves baptized, lay hands to prove that they're obeying God, and now understand that there is such a thing as eternity, that he has set a day that he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed." This is Jesus. "And he has given proof of this to everyone" by what? "Raising him from the dead." The resurrection is not just a future event, but a reality that dictates and directs the way you and I live on earth today. By knowing that there's such a thing as a resurrection from the dead, it changes the way we behave. It changes the way we think. It makes us take stock of every behavior, every thought, every plan, every action that we take. Understanding the resurrection means it has witnesses and it has implications to your life and my life today. And thirdly, it has applications to your life today. In other words, you can apply this in your spiritual life, whether it's your life, your spiritual life today is not as vibrant, it's not as alive. If it's dead, you have the ability to have the power of God resurrect that. Whether it's a relational issue with a parent, a wife, a husband, a sibling, a friend, you can have God believe, you can believe God for a resurrection of these things. The idea that God can resurrect the dead is applicable not just to your spiritual, your relational, your physical, but even to your financial life. The understanding the resurrection from the dead, it has a witness, it has implications to your life today, and has real life applications to your life today. As I land this message, the third and final point is understanding our own resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 35 and 36 says, "But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish! What you sow does not come to life until it dies." Now, you might be asking the same question. With what kind of body will I come when I resurrect from the dead? And he says, that's a foolish question because what does not die will not come. Unless something dies, it won't come to life. Now, watch what he says in the next verse. "When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but a seed, perhaps of wheat or something else." In short, when you're sowing something, you're not sowing a tomato. You're sowing a seed of a tomato. And out of that comes the tomato. In the same way that this physical body, when you sow it into the ground and bury it because you're dead, you're sowing a seed. It will not look like this, the same way that a tomato seed looks like this and an actual tomato looks like this. The point is, there is no telling how it's going to look like. All you know is that it's going to be a lot better, a lot more beautiful, colorful, more alive, has nutrition things in it, because that's what resurrection from the dead looks like. Further, it says in verses 38, "But God gives it a body as he has determined. And to each kind of seed, he gives its own body." The same way that the tomato has seed, has a different kind of body or kind of fruit, is the same way that God has determined what kind of body we will have when we resurrect from the dead. So will it be the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown perishable, it is raised imperishable. And that's what we can rest our hopes on and our faith on, that the very body that has been sown, that has died, is going to be raised imperishable. The perishable becomes imperishable. Unlike earthly seeds that produce perishable tomatoes, this body, when sown, once it's perished, will resurrect in a way that is imperishable, something that will never decay ever again. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 43 says, "It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory." Death will always be dishonorable. As a pastor, I've seen many people, I've stood in deathbeds, I've seen relatives. It is nothing honorable about it. In fact, in many ways, it doesn't look good. What makes it beautiful is the resurrection life. Because in the same way that Jesus was crucified and it didn't look good, to be naked, hung on a cross, whipped and stripped is an ugly thing. But then in the midst of that, the resurrection from the dead is what made it glorious. Such is the way of God. Think about the reality that to this day, we're talking about the resurrection of Jesus. The glory, the weight, the implication of your life and mine affects all of creation long after we've gone, because that is the power of the resurrected life. Understanding our resurrection means the perishable becomes imperishable, the dishonorable becomes glorious. And finally, 1 Corinthians 15:43 says, "It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory, it is sown in weakness, but it is raised in power." And that's the beautiful thing about the resurrection that we can expect. Our perishable becomes imperishable, our dishonorable becomes glorious, and our weak bodies become powerful. Why? Because it says in verse 43, "It is sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory, sown in weakness, raised in power," because it is sown a natural body, but it is raised a spiritual body. When something is spiritual, it is no longer material. When something is material, you can't hurt it, you can't touch it, you can't do anything. It can go anywhere. It can go through walls. It becomes extremely powerful. Most of the most valuable things in life and the most powerful things in life, like air and wind or the things that you don't see, are non-material things. And they're the ones that really have an eternal future. Embracing eternity is embracing the resurrection. It's understanding that what physical death looks like, that it's just a matter of time, that we had no control over it, but it's something just as beautiful as birth. Secondly, we understanding the resurrection is that it has witnesses, witnesses who are willing to die for it and proclaim it and tell the whole world about it. It has implications to your life today and mine, and it has applications to our lives today. And finally, understanding our resurrection understands that the perishable becomes imperishable, the dishonorable becomes honorable, and not just honorable, but glorious. It becomes the weak becomes powerful. Join me in a short word of proclamation of Jesus. Pick up a piece of bread and a cup as we pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you that even you yourself said, I am the resurrection and the life. And as we put our faith in you, we can expect the same resurrection from the dead for us. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.